Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily. Some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. And we have become the home of chess on TalkSport.
I know.
It's the only place you can come on TalkSport to hear about chess. There's probably a reason for that. Yeah. But no, they've just had the World Championships. And now a supercomputer.
I reckon that Alan will take it on. I reckon we have chess.
Think Alan could beat
morning.
It at chess.
Yeah. It was Alan doing the show with Raymond Keane.
It's actually a conversation about chess that gets incredibly scary.
Yeah, it's quite interesting.
Yeah.
We've got Martin Kellner.
Martin will be in. Yeah, yeah. Squad number nine. Yeah. He did a week of sport on TV, including the varsity rugby match.
We had a few bits with a bit of
had a bit of a chat, didn't we?
I had a chat about what I watched last night. Yeah. Joan Bakewell, she got in there.
Yeah, Joan Bakewell's in it, so don't touch that dial. What with that and the chess? I bet you're thinking, blimey.
Can't wait.
Delete quickly on the app. But no, go and stick with it. It might be worth it. And here it all is.
But I want to try and give you a bit of a fresh angle on those pictures on the front of today's Sun featuring all the Arsenal players. It looks clear to me looking at those pictures is that this is a group of fine young men preparing for a children's birthday party. The kids have not arrived. The guys have kindly come along early doors.
Yeah, that's right.
They're blowing up some balloons for the kids.
It's very nice of them, isn't it?
And you might say, OK, what about all the booze that was there? But, you know, dads get thirsty. You're blowing up balloons.
Of course, yeah.
And, you know, it takes its toll. And you might have a half a lager or you might have 2.5 grand's worth of Hennessy VS Scotch, 2 grand's worth of Dom Perignon, 2 grand's worth of syrup vodka. I may have said that wrong. I've never tried it before. Okay, one or two of them look like they were slumped and passed out. But you hyperventilate when you're blowing up balloons for a kid. And 70 women apparently turned up as well. That's the mums. The mums turn out to recce the venue. And I don't see why they're apologising. There's something wrong with it. No, just a kid's party that got out of hand.
If you look very carefully in the corner of the picture, you can see a bouncy castle.
You can. I've not noticed that. I saw a pile of kids' shoes. So I guess that's probably it was the bouncy castle.
Coming up between now and four. What's the betting... Oh, no. What's the betting?
What's the betting?
What the betting ad ban might mean for the Premier League. It'd be brilliant if I read it before, wouldn't it? Why has it all gone wrong for Fred at United? And we're in Spain ahead of the contentious Boca River Cup final this weekend.
We'll take your calls, emails, texts and tweets. And we'll hear from the gaffers ahead of the weekend's football.
There's all this, plus the clips of the week, the Fool's Panel, Martin Kellner's Week of Sport on TV, and we'll give away some of Paddy Power's money for the daftest punt of the week.
That's it. It is 8 minutes past one. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
I thought I'd mention that.
What was that for?
It's showtime.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
It's a new thing. I play it to myself every morning just to remind myself.
Do you really?
It's good, isn't it?
A bit random.
Yeah, I don't know about Arsenal disciplining their players for that party antics, but if I was Unai Emery, I'd fine Aubameyang for wearing that hat.
Really?
That fedora. It doesn't look good.
I've not noticed that. You've picked out that. Oh, yeah. Is that him in the hat?
It is.
That is quite terrible.
That's not
isn't
a great hat.
That was during his short period with the Scissor Sisters, was it, really? Yeah.
And I joked, didn't I, the other day when I was talking about the draw. You know, Manchester United will play on television.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, there you go.
It's embarrassing now, isn't it?
64 out of the last 65 times. United, Reading, who cares? United are going to, even United, the way they're playing, they're going to beat Reading, I promise you, at Old Trafford.
It's almost
no one's interested.
It's almost like the TV companies have got together and said, yeah, let's just do it again to wind everybody up.
It's
Manchester
ridiculous.
United on the telly.
Ludicrous.
Yeah, really. And it is a, you're right, it's a complete nothing fixture. It's one of those, it's a routine 2-0, isn't it?
I'd
it's what it feels like, I would say.
Almost certainly.
Yeah.
You know, so
Cut to Reading winning 4-0.
Well, no, Reading fans would obviously want to see their team playing at Old Trafford, but that's it.
But for the neutral, that is a pretty unappealing game.
That's not the magic
of
the cup, is it, really?
No, it's not.
Well, it is if they win, but they're not going to. All this stuff, we're going to talk about this, the bookie, the curb on bookmakers advertising throughout the game. But the one thing I do seem to be, Ray Winston seems to be getting all the blame. It's not really Ray's fault. He's right. Just an actor. He's just playing a part in it. He says, have a bang on that.
And he says, have a bang on that. I mean, Ray doesn't run his own gambling empire.
It's entirely his fault, I would have said.
That's true, yeah.
Exactly. There's plenty of Turkey and Christmas news on. This is a good one in the Daily Star today. Turkey fans, if there is such a thing, face a double marathon. Of course, I can't find me.
I could face a double marathon after I've had a massive amount of turkey.
Yeah, that's what you have to do.
All those peanuts.
How have I managed to do, honestly?
You've lost it, have you?
No, they're there.
So you've set this up?
No, they're there.
At least you brought them in today.
Well, I did. That's not bad, is it?
Yeah.
Festive revellers will need
No one talks like that, do they?
I do.
Who just, I mean, you're walking down the street and there's a kind of Christmas party full of drunks opposite and you say, who are they? And you say, and if maybe it's a documentary. Andy is 63 and he's noticed recently.
I wish he was 63.
Okay. Andy has noticed recently he's knocked 2 years off his age.
Yeah.
And he's 63 and for 63 years he was absolutely fine. And then suddenly he started to speak like a tabloid newspaper. Yeah. The first moment I realised it was when somebody said to me, all those drunk people over the road, who are they? And I said they were festive revellers. And you started to quote sources, didn't you?
I started to give my wife weather scares every day.
That's right, yeah. And you stormed. You would storm and you'd issue come and get me,
honestly,
please.
Yesterday they had one that lives were in danger, honestly. Yeah. They do love a bit of scare story.
Anyway, were you? Double marathon.
Festive relevers. Revelers.
Oh, for goodness sake, man.
Festive revelers.
Andy's 64 and he can't speak.
I'm going up. Festive revelers.
Yeah.
We'll need to walk...
Stop saying festive revelers. Even I've had enough.
Yes, so have I. Some people will need to walk 60 miles to burn off a Christmas dinner with all the trimmings. You can't have a Christmas dinner without trimmings, without all the trimmings.
All the trimmings, yeah.
Researchers said people are wildly underestimating how much they'll eat at this Yuletide. This Yuletide, you mean every Yuletide?
Yeah.
When we know that we'll consume about 2,384 calories. You know, that's basically what you do, isn't it? That's right. They'll actually scoff about 6,000. No, they won't. It would take the equivalent of more than two marathons to walk it off. But some people, more than one in 10 people, actively hate the traditional Christmas walk. I don't know about you. I love a walk after dinner
on a
Christmas day, as do many people. But one in 10 label it a pointless activity.
Well, I suppose when you've eaten that many calories, it's an elastoplast over a gunshot wound, isn't it?
They may weigh over 20 stone, those people. But there you go.
If your next-door neighbours are called trimmings and you invite them in for dinner with their kids...
All the trimmings.
It's a surname, isn't it? It could be.
Talking of surnames, the Queen yesterday was presented to Mrs. Justice Cuts. I mean, I'm not sure about cuts in justice, really. It's the last
you don't
thing
need any justice cuts, do we, really?
We don't, really. Where am I with... Bobby Madley. He was in the news today. He made an appearance, we heard the other day, didn't we?
Yeah, he's refereeing again in Norway.
Norway, in front of... He's gone for the Norway-style Brexit.
Yeah.
There you go, topical one there.
Norway Plus he's going for.
Norway
isn't
Plus.
It?
Yeah, there were only 9 people in the stadium.
Right, okay.
You don't mind.
Low crowd.
You start somewhere, haven't you?
Spot really the crowd competition. Well, is that it? Well, or are you going to say festive revelers again?
I can say festive revelers again if you want. A restaurant in the United States sparked a riot by giving away free cheesecake. It's not a great thing to do to Americans, is it, offering them free cake?
Yeah, and that's not
the last
idea
thing you want to do.
Okay. It depends how big the portion was, but I'm guessing it was fairly massive.
Well, I'd say it was.
Anything else?
Yeah, it is America. Anything else?
Yeah.
No, that's it.
You're done, are you?
Well, I'm going to save a bit. I'm quite intrigued by the two brothers. I don't think this can ever have happened in any sport, but you can correct me if I'm wrong, listeners. Two brothers face each other today in the Hockey World Cup, playing for two different nations. So one guy's playing for England and the other guy's playing for Ireland.
I think that would have happened before.
Do you think that's happened before?
Yeah, I think that would have happened before. I think maybe the listeners can tell us.
Tell us.
It rings a bell in kind of international youth football, and I think it might have been Ireland and England again, because it comes down... In a lot of cases, you can play for either. You can play for a number of countries, and you might make a call that your brother doesn't. You might be a better player than your brother or sister, and you might think, okay, I've got more chance of playing for the better side. And the other one might think, I want to play international football. I'm probably not good enough for this side, so I'll play for that one.
Yeah, maybe.
I'll throw me a lot. Or you feel more Irish than English, or English and Irish, I suppose, in that case. So there's plenty of situations where it could happen. But let us know. It does ring a bell with me. Let us know if it has happened before. Talksport.com/H&J. Text to 81089 or tweet to TS.
Yeah, feel for Rob Holding too. Wish him well.
Yeah, bad another ACL last couple of days. Yeah.
And also the fact he was playing really well. He can't have been too far from the old England reckoning. Yeah. He was really playing. He was really in good form. So I do feel for him. So wish him
another sliding, another challenge where you kind of slide along the ground and the old slid off the pitch. We've seen an injury, two injuries in the last 2 days.
Yeah.
It does make me wonder sometimes when players go out their way to do a knee slide celebration. I always think, why are you putting yourself through that? It's, you know, it's a precarious enough business when you don't have to take chances.
I quite like to see
like
Hazard doing knee slide one celebration tomorrow.
Yeah, well, you probably would.
Really lightly,
but it always looks a bit higher risk than maybe it should be.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Tancredi Palmieri is in Madrid ahead of the game we were just chatting about.
Brilliant.
Well, I'm guessing he is.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's just taken this picture. He says, River Plate fans are starting to camp outside the Bernabeu. I think he actually means camp. I think they are putting up tents. They may get moved on. This is, you know, 2.5 days before the game kicks off. So, it's going to be... I think we're going to be hearing a lot about that game over the next couple of days, and probably not for the right reasons. Anyway, Andy, do you have anything else for us?
I do. I don't know if you've seen this. It's a cafe in Tuscany. Is dedicated to the Chelsea manager Maurizio Sarri.
Yeah.
It's like a theme shrine to him. And I don't know if they've only got one menu, one way of cooking and one way of serving it
up. Oh, you've turned on him quickly.
We must cook our food. We must remember to cook our food.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I like him. I think he's a lovely man. I think some of the way that we...
You're about to damn with faint praise,
aren't I think
you?
Some of the football, if you look at some of the football, even the football leading up to Morata's penalty or miss or whatever you want to call it, actually covered up the fact it was a wonderful bit of football, a beautiful movement, and we've seen some of that from Chelsea this season. It's great and it's encouraging. I also think he hasn't got the players he needs. He needs transfer windows and he needs patience.
Yeah.
So there's all of that is true. But, you know, you do slightly worry when a manager's only got one, you know, he's so dedicated to it and he so sticks to his principles. You know, you know tomorrow, really, if I was playing against City, I'd fight for every ball and I'd basically mix it up. I would not be playing out from the back every single time, which is what Chelsea will do and probably get into trouble, you know. But he is dedicated to that, and you know, eventually, if you believe in him, then you've got to let him have the players and let him have the time to get the players playing in that way.
Now, when if people have seen pictures of you recently, they'll know your hair's not that long, but there was a time because it was incredible. It was very long, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Not particularly when I knew you, but there were periods in your life when it was very long.
I think when I first started the show, I used to have it quite long. It was all behind me.
It was all behind you. It was a bit of a mullet, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, really. Yeah.
So, nobody ever pull it? I mean, can you think of any situation? When was the last time anybody pulled your hair?
No, a long, long time ago.
I didn't like Guendouzi's
never.
No-nonsense take on it, though, in that they just said to him, you know, what should he do? He said, well, get a haircut. It's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
Go and get it cut off, much like Fellaini.
I think Unai Emery said the
same
thing.
He did, that's right. Emery said, yeah, that's just chop it off and then we won't have this problem.
He's got a lot of promise in him. He's a good player, actually. He's a slightly annoying person, but he is a good footballer.
You see that Robert Huth, when he did it a few years ago, he got on Fellaini.
Yeah.
He got a 3-game retrospective ban.
Yeah, I was surprised he didn't get a ban, some sort of penalty for doing that fine or something. Yeah,
it was, and I think that's probably been a wasted opportunity because normally when a player's told to get their hair cut, you'd have a little, it'd be little graphics, wouldn't it? Twitter's not alive with various photoshopped haircuts that Guendouzi could try. I think, as Harry Hill would say for him first, a little bit of frizzies. A bit of frizzies would kick him off, wouldn't it?
So, yeah.
And then he can start from there because he's split ends a go-go, isn't he, really?
Well, he is a little bit, but it's quite interesting the way it flows behind him when he plays. It's interesting. Last night was no football, so I know you would like to know what I watched. I actually watched the thing you recommended.
Did you like it, Andy?
Jim Carrey was very good.
Did you enjoy it? Didn't you think?
Yeah, it was excellent.
What a pilot. I thought people haven't tried this yet. It's on Sky Atlantic.
True, you forget that was a pilot. Yeah. America are good at that.
It's called Kidding, and I expected it to be incredibly cosmic. It's sort of Jim Carrey, but I thought it was excellent.
I'm looking forward to the second one.
I'm reading something, look, not strictly sport this, but the feeling is that the half hour is back. There's a lot of shows at the moment, dramas and comedies and comedy dramas that are being made half hour long.
The amount of material I've got today, which this show is half an hour long.
But, you know, a little tight, tell your story, a little tight 30 minutes.
No, it's a good idea.
I've often felt that about films. Anything longer than about an hour and a half, hour and 45,
oh,
you're not,
I agree.
You're not doing your job properly.
I don't go, if anything's like 3 hours or 3 hours, I don't even bother. Yeah, I don't care how good it is, I won't go and see it.
Also, they talk about the director's cut. Whenever the director's cut was, that means normally they put an extra hour on, not that they've honed it to the point that they can tell their story in 90 minutes. That was the old Woody Allen line.
With me, that doesn't apply to Test cricket.
No. That's very true.
They don't have a director's cut. That would be quite an extra 2 hours.
Yeah, the selector's cut. That would be good, wouldn't it? Cricket. That would be a nice idea.
Yes. And anyway, Sky Landscape Artist of the Year.
Okay, I
love
even then, people. You have to watch something competitive, don't you? You have
I do,
to watch something where there is a winner and a loser.
That's exactly right. I do like Joan Bakewell.
Joan Bakewell.
She's very, very posh, Joan. Although she wasn't originally posh. She comes from Stockport, I believe.
Oh, okay.
She had quite a thick northern accent. And of course, in her day, when she started in the 60s...
That would have been all the rage, wouldn't it?
I think even before that, that came in.
Before the kitchen sink.
I think
sink,
she had to be... That's why I think she...
Poor Albert Finney and all that.
And I think also going to university, I think she felt she had to be posh, you know.
All right, but she's not gone back to Stockport.
Artist, you've got 4 R's.
That's what she said, 4 R's,
4 hours.
Yeah, I'm with you. I was with you, Andy.
So I said to my wife, she must have practiced for many, many R's.
is she a QPR fan?
You are.
Yeah, that can't. See, that sounds worse.
Beautifully back to sport.
Yeah,
I can see Joan in the loft to be tremendous.
You are. That would be harmless, wouldn't it? Yeah.
But they did a thing where
That sounds wrong, doesn't it, when you say
it
like
does
that?
Really,
I do apologise.
No, it's okay. But the people, they showed all the people's paintings and everything. Yeah. Tremendous. They went to this old ruin. And
I
am. Yeah. And they painted. And then they showed a painting by Turner of the same view.
Well, not Anthea.
No, JMW.
It would be great, wouldn't it?
Anthea.
They've gone, that's an exhibition of Turner's watercolours. And you go along and say, wow, he let it go a bit. They're Antheas. Do you know these Christmas grottos where they basically
idea.
Have a dog with fake horns
yeah,
on?
Yeah, yeah.
And a bloke who looks
nothing. That's going to be the Turner
there isn't
exhibition.
The real Father Christmas. Yeah. I could talk about the, yeah, I
That's
could
a
put
very
on
good idea.
A Turner exhibition, like the Beano used to.
Yeah.
Sit outside, 50p Turner, like the Bash Street kids would do. Sit outside, and it's actually the Anthea Turner exhibition.
It's a good idea. Well, they showed it. No, I think this one's probably the winner.
Or the Andy Turner exhibition to bring up the former Spurs player. Yeah.
That'd be good.
Yeah. Yes, of his watercolours.
I can't see that Huddersfield is really the worst place to live in the UK.
Well, this is a poll, isn't it?
I'm going to ask Martin Keown about that because he's not far from Leeds, is it?
No, it's not a million miles from Leeds. I've been to Huddersfield once. I've not been for a very long time. Mm. And I don't remember it being particularly terrible. So I thought there was some shocking stuff in this. Where's it gone? Have you? People may not have seen this. It turns up in the paper somewhere today. Huddersfield's got a bit of a shoeing.
It beat Rotherham to be crowned top of the Pits 2018.
Eight
of the top 10 were in the north with Liverpool.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
I know.
They're followed by Blackpool, Castleford, Hull and Accrington. Bristol made its first appearance. I thought Bristol was supposed to be the best place to live in this country.
Yeah, up and comer, isn't it? Yeah.
Last year's worst Dover came 10th. So what have they done to go up the charts?
Yeah, well, I think everybody's been shortchanged there. There's a couple of thousand people on a sort of state agency website, if you like. We shouldn't say that they're absolutely right, should we? They may have an agenda.
I think they might.
Yeah.
And traditional... No, not that. And where's this story? Oh, yeah. One in five British women have admitted they fancy Father Christmas. It's an odd thing, isn't it, really?
Oh,
or Ken Bates.
Yeah, that was great news for the old man, isn't it?
For Ken,
it's great news for Ken. Yeah, go on, then.
Well, only one in five.
One in five. It would be more than that.
Yeah.
Well, he speaks like Dorothy, like dear old John Barden. So anyway, we move on.
Thank goodness, I was on to page two.
Well, what's on? Give us a flavour of what's halfway down page two, the very dregs of what you were going to bring to us today.
New portrait of the Queen. It's nice, but who's it supposed to be?
Who's this? Not one of Anthea Turner's, is
no,
it?
I don't think it is, actually.
One of Andy Turner's.
I won't be buying Cristiano's underpants range.
Won't you?
No.
I don't think they're really made for your shape.
Yeah, I don't think they are.
They do
either.
One with a little gusset built in. That might be nice.
Festive fare being replaced.
No,
it's not.
When you get the kind of the celebrity underpant, when you get the David Beckham, the Cristiano Ronaldo...
Those are the two main ones.
They've done the celebrity underpant.
Yeah.
I mean, really, who are you
Sportsman's underpant.
Who are you trying to kid?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really, unless you are the same shape.
You've got very little chance of looking like that. I mean, you put on the...
I bought the Cliff Lazarenko range. Yeah, well, they're well, very nice.
And you can carry them off, mate.
I can.
You can. With that derby, you can look $1 million.
I would.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
TalkSport's coverage of the Premier League continues this weekend. Tomorrow, join Adrian Durham with Match Day Live and Mark Saggers in Sags on Sunday, both from 1 p.m. with Now TV. And don't forget, the weekend's action gets underway tomorrow with Bournemouth versus Liverpool, and you can watch it live. So treat yourself with a Now TV Sky Sports Day Pass for a one-off payment of just $7.99. George Mendes, the super agent, of course, has issued a statement on behalf of Jose Mourinho, one of his clients. It seems it's quite rare that he does this, but has gone on record saying there's been many rumours of Jose Mourinho leaving Manchester United. It's totally untrue. Jose is very happy at the club and the club is very happy with him. He has a long-term contract with Manchester United and is fully committed to the club in building a solid winning project.
Oh, yeah, Ed Woodward looked ecstatic the other night. I don't think so.
But there's the agent coming out and spelling
it'd be
it out.
Interesting if Nuno, what would he do, George, if, say, Ed Woodward said to me, I really like that bloke at Wolves. He'd be good, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
That'd be a problem, wouldn't it?
Well, it might be, yeah, of course. Yeah, that may happen one day. Who knows? He's made a pretty decent start. We're going to be talking about Manchester United a little bit later on and Fred and those comments by Jose. If you haven't heard them, you'll hear them again. About the balance of the side and why Fred isn't getting a game at the moment, despite being a £50 million plus signing. We'll head off to Brazil, see what they make of it over there. Are they surprised he's struggled to get into the team? But before that, a man who's been as regular a guest on this show as any football guest recently. Well, we just have had
he's on more than we are.
Yeah, we've had the World Chess Championships, and chess is back in the news today. Slightly sinister tale. And for those that believe one day the machines will turn on the people that created them and kill us all off, this is more gristy a mill, basically.
It's true.
This is a chess playing computer that is so good it learns by its mistakes.
It taught itself to play in a few hours, and it's what's more interesting is it's coming up with new openings that people have never really thought of.
Malcolm Payne is back, the Telegraph's chess correspondent. Hiya, Malcolm.
Good afternoon.
I read the piece in your paper. It was your science. This tells us all we need to know. It's a chess piece written by your science editor.
But
this
That's right.
It's I mean, we've heard a lot about sort of Deep Blue and all the other different computers over the years, but this seems to be a step on.
Oh yes, it's way better than Deep Blue. I was actually in New York in the web room for the Deep Blue match in 1997. I sort of witnessed that seminal moment when the machine finally beat the world champion Garry Kasparov. But this AlphaZero is way better than anything that's ever been created, because ever since Deep Blue won that match, actually, you know, PC programs are way better than Deep Blue. But now AlphaZero, as it's called, produced by the London company DeepMind, is far better than any other computer chess playing entity that's ever been produced. And it also thinks, in inverted commas, and plays in a completely different way. It's far more human, incredibly, which is actually quite, well,
yeah,
you know, quite nice that he played like a human.
It makes mistakes. It makes mistakes apparently, and he's prepared to kind of give up pieces along the way. So kind of thinks in a thinks in terms of collateral damage, which you wouldn't necessarily think.
Yeah, it's not so much of a materialist as conventional computer programs are, because conventional computer programs, when they analyze a position, they're trying to decide what to do. They do a deep search. They analyze every single possible move as far as they can get. And in every single position, they count who's got more pieces, whose pieces can go to more squares, whose king is safer, a few things like that. But the material, very materialistic. AlphaZero isn't remotely materialistic. It's much more interested in, it would seem like, in the mobility of pieces and whether the board is open and whether it can get an attack going. It's so interesting, and it's because it calculates in a completely different way to any other computer program. It uses something called Monte Carlo search, which I guess I could explain in saying football terms. Like if Klopp's preparing for the match against Bournemouth tomorrow and he's trying to figure out what midfield to play, just imagine that he could play like a million training games with Hendo and Interesting in the midfield with Wijnaldum, or swap them around and put Keita in there instead of one of them, and just play that scenario out a million times against the opposition and find out which one produces the most wins. That's what AlphaZero does. So it literally plays against itself millions and millions and millions and millions of times. And that's actually how it learned chess. I mean, it's so terrifying. It learned chess in 4 hours. It got given the moves, so it knew how to play, and then it played itself hundreds and hundreds of millions of times, figuring out what was the best way to play chess. So no one's ever told it what to do, and that's actually terrifying.
It is. I wonder if you can get down to the dugout at Chelsea tomorrow. You do with it, I think. It sounds like something that could come into football and revolutionise. You know, that's a very interesting take on it, Malcolm. The managers deciding which players to play, given
who will be the first robot manager. I mean, who?
Well, that's a very good question.
Yeah.
Yeah, AI Addio.
AI Addio. Yeah. Is that what you're claiming? He'd be fantastic. It would be great to have him there, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I love the comment by Natasha Regan, the women's international master. He said, "It doesn't often happen in life that something is even more amazing than you could have dreamt. The games are superb. They are really, really superb." So people in the chess world are really admiring the way this computer is playing.
Yeah, they are. They released 10 or 20 games about a year ago, and I played through them. I was absolutely staggered at how beautiful they were. And now, actually, I can actually reveal I was actually allowed to play against it. Wow. A few months ago with a couple of other players, including Grandmaster David Howell. And in the first game, we were unbelievably lucky because we were trying to think what's the most solid, boring opening we could play against this thing and try and get a draw. And there's something in chess called the Berlin Wall that Vladimir Kramnik created to defeat Garry Kasparov and take the world championship from him in 2000. And it's incredibly dull in chess terms. So we'll see if we can get it to play the Berlin defense, and then we'll just swap all the pieces off and try and draw. And we were so lucky because we figured out in advance what the first 27 moves would be.
Wow.
We got to a position that was so dull, even AlphaZero couldn't beat us.
And we had a
grandmaster helping us. But then the second time we played it, when it had the white pieces, it just crushed us, you know, absolutely hammered us.
Wow.
And we got some sense of its power in that game. But when you look at these other games that have released, I've just seen a few of them. They're just amazing. And, you know, Garry Kasparov said that, you know, it's because this thing has taught itself, whereas all previous computer programs were programmed by humans, this almost feels like truth in chess. Like, this really is the best way to play.
Well, look, I'm all for AlphaZero while he's playing chess, less so when he crashes down my front door with a gun in his hand in about 10 years' time. But we'll move on.
Thank you,
that
Malcolm.
Happy scenario.
Thank you, Malcolm.
Just finally, Malcolm, David Dean, we heard from recently, the former Arsenal vice chairman, who's been a new initiative going into prisons. They're using the power of football. You're using the power of chess, we understand, in the same way.
Yeah, I've done a bit of work in a couple of prisons, bringing chess into prisons, and the reaction from prisoners is wonderful. They love chess. It's a great way of occupying the time. It also teaches quite important life decisions. You know that if you play a bad move, it's only your fault. You know, consequences have actions have consequences. Mm-hmm. I should say, and it's a great thing for prisons. And we've got the support of the Ministry of Justice in a program that we're doing through the charity Chess in Schools and Communities. And I'm hoping to have chess in lots of prisons next year.
Well done,
one thing. We're actually at the offices of DeepMind on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday and Thursday. We've got the London Chess Classic, and so the people who created AlphaZero very kindly hosting our tournament, and that'll be online at londonchessclassic.com. You'll see all the world's best players. London's still the chess capital of the world.
Good stuff. Yeah, much like the boxing. Thank you very much, Malcolm. There we are. There's Malcolm Payne there from the
He'll be doing the warm-up next.
He'll be coming in, yeah. Him and Jason. That'd be fantastic, wouldn't it, when Andy's doing the snooker. Malcolm Payne and Jason. That'd be a good guy. That'd work. So, he knew his football there. He was going through the Liverpool midfield.
I like that analogy.
Nice analogy.
Yeah, it's very good.
It could be. I mean, imagine that computer running a football team.
It may be the only way to stop City.
It might be. Yeah, we might have to bring in Alpha Zero to take on Pep.
Yeah, or Alpha Ramsey.
Yeah. Yeah, Sir Alpha Ramsey, of course. So we'll have to have that one, won't we? Come on, let's have your...
Yeah. Yeah, you... Robotic computer managers.
Computer teaching itself by its mistakes. Already been done in the 1983 film War Games. The computer was called Joshua. Old news, I'm afraid, says Phil
You're
from Nottingham.
Right.
That was a film, Phil. This is
At
real.
Least he didn't say fake news. Yeah. Could have been worse.
And Peter in Manchester said, actually, he was a bit like me with the Anthea Turner exhibition. He said, I went to a Banksy exhibition. Waste of time. Just lots of pairs of goalkeeper's gloves.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Ben Jacobs here on TalkSport. Clips of the week to come. Todd Macklin joins us as well with the latest on American sport. And we'll hear from the managers ahead of the weekend's big games. But first, Martin Kellner, squad number 9, is here with a week of sport on TV. Yeah. Hey, Martin.
Good afternoon to you. You
yeah,
well?
Yeah, yeah. We're not bad.
We're
not
very good, thanks. Yeah.
I'll tell you what I haven't watched.
Okay. We could be here for a while.
Yes.
Here's a list.
No, I missed it. There was a show called Too Good to Go Down, which is a BT Sport documentary. Have you been...
I've recorded it. Andy has watched it, I think.
I haven't watched all of it. All right. I tend to watch these things in parts because I just haven't got time.
Well, one of your listeners, Mark Williams, asked me if I'd watched it. I didn't watch it, but it's on again. He's just... told me it's on again after, or one or two of your listeners have told me, it's on again after the Spurs match on Saturday.
Yeah.
So I'll probably watch it then. But it's an interesting, I mean, the whole concept, I like the concept of it. The fact that the struggle that United had after Matt Busby.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was, you know, Franco Farrell, Dave Sexton.
Wilf
McGuinness, yeah. So that's something to look forward to, because I know you listen to that.
They do, yeah, yeah.
That's a good idea, actually. So not just reviewing, but previewing.
It's nice. Well, it's
an extra service.
And I will, yes, I will always preview if somebody tells me about it, because otherwise I don't know what the hell. But Mark Williams is a keen listener because he listens to your podcast as well.
Oh, wow.
And
he's keen.
I've had hundreds and hundreds of emails and texts and... messages and all that stuff.
Telexes.
Because you weren't in last week. This is the first time ever.
I got cut out of the podcast.
Well, you know, be fair. The giant of broadcasting as you are, you don't really compare to Parky, do you?
I mean, you were nudged aside for Parky. I do apologise.
No, Parky's a good turn.
Yeah. So what have you watched this week?
Well, what I haven't watched this week is the varsity match.
Oh,
Oxford versus Cambridge in the final.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
Strathclyde, we never get in.
Unfortunate.
It's absolutely shocking. Now, you may be interested to know the varsity match, and I know how keen you are on the varsity match. It used to be on a Tuesday, but it's now on a Thursday.
Why is that?
I don't know why. John Inverdale was saying this. You know, tradition, it was on a Tuesday. It's John Inverdale's regular gig. He always does it standing on
one
the
of those great traditions you don't really care about.
Yes, of course. John Inverdale is one of
those.
No,
not John.
I meant
always played on a Tuesday. Varsity match, has to be on a Tuesday.
Well, P.G. Woodhouse used to say that when the varsity match was on, you had carte blanche to go into London and knock a policeman's helmet off.
Is that right?
Yeah, if you read
That's why he did 5 years, wasn't it?
Yes. I can't imagine that. You were let off. If it was a varsity match or the boat race, you could go and knock a policeman's helmet
off. Don't try that now, folks, when the boat race comes
out. The boat race is an anachronism. It goes virtually past my front door. And
do you watch
the last
it,
2 years? Well, I have. I've ventured yards to watch it. It's the worst spectator sport in the world, apart from the Tour de France. It's like it lasts about 10 seconds. They go past.
That's two great sporting institutions written off in one sentence by Andy. So, what of the varsity match, Martin?
Well, what of the varsity match? Now, there's a little political correctness thing here. John Inverdale, so Oxford won for I don't know, probably about 9 or 10 years in a row.
Yeah,
Oxford won. And he said for a number of years, Oxford had the Indian sign over Cambridge. Mm. Can you still say had the Indian sign?
Well,
it's one of those phrases that I think is
depends on the origin. Legends and what it means
has died out. I mean, I think you know.
Nobody says it anymore, do they? But it used to be said all the time, and John Inverdale revived it, which is a great tradition.
He needs to be careful, doesn't he, really, John?
He has got into trouble in the past with various things. But the interesting thing is they play it at Twickenham. And one of the guests, Damien Hopley, who's a former international.
Yeah,
Damien Hopley was saying that there was an article in Varsity, which I think is the Cambridge magazine, questioning why they play at Twickenham, which has occurred to me as well, because, you know, when you look at Twickenham, he said, well, it's a regular crowd, 20 to 25,000. Didn't look like 20,000 to me. Looked closer to about 15,000, but they don't print the attendance anywhere, but I thought it was about 15,000. And you can imagine that in Twickenham.
You're interested in rugby, rugby uni, you probably counted them, didn't you?
Yes, precisely. Well, you could. I have to say, it was not a bad second half. The first half was described as attritional. And attritional is often a phrase used for rugby matches that you really don't want to be watching.
Real students of both universities, or were they 36-year-old American hedge fund managers like the boat race?
It's not quite like the boat race, but there were a couple of Canadians in there, and who were regular, proper players. You know, this guy had a contract at Newcastle, I think, and somebody else had played for either Harlequins or Wasps. I think it was Harlequins. So, there were some good players in there. Yeah. The second half was good, and Oxford won that. But I'm just wondering what your average sport, because it is a very specialist thing, the varsity match.
And they, Ray didn't pop up halfway saying, have a bang on that, did he? We won't be able to soon.
No,
but maybe,
very soon. But,
the thing is, it came from a time when, you know, there wasn't a lot of live sport. And I remember this when I was a kid. It would be on.
Yeah.
And you'd watch it because it was, you know.
But it used to be good. I can remember it used to be, you know, it's a bit like the Barbarians thing. They used to throw the ball around because they weren't the greatest players. When they tired in the second half, you know, because they're all students, they're living on pot noodles. So in the second half.
Of course they are, yeah.
Nutrition hadn't come in those days.
Yeah.
They'd all tire like mad, and you'd see a lot of tries in the second half. And they did tire. You know, it became less attritional as the players tired. But it is, and they have a celebrity ref. When I say a celebrity ref, I mean...
Who was it? Was it Jethro? Yeah. Did this year.
I realise how that sounds, celebrity ref, you know, Holly Willoughby. Yeah. Year, it was Nigel Owens.
Oh, okay.
He reffed the World Cup final in 2015.
Of course, yeah.
So, do you know what I mean? They have a ref that's of a higher standard than the actual players. So there was a lot of talk about that. But it was fun. But I'm thinking your regular sports fan tuning in, all the semi-retired people like me, tuning in to watch the UK Snooker Championships would have been slight, because every day this week, the UK Snooker Championships, I had a lovely snoozing soundly through the UK Snooker through the afternoon. It was on between like 2 and 5.
Packet of Werther's.
Yeah, exactly.
So did it get bumped? Did the snooker get bumped? Couldn't they have put it on a bit of overspill somewhere? It's
not even on the red button.
Well, they put the snooker on the red button.
Okay,
but
you oldies, you can't use the newfangled red button. You don't know what the red button is.
It's not the same to us. The snooker continues on the red button.
What are you talking about? Red buttons?
Story, what's the red button?
Red buttons. I remember Red Buttons. He was fantastic. I loved all his programmes.
Marvellous. Yeah. I've seen his movies as well.
Marvellous mention for Red Buttons.
That was no good. I was watching Judge Trump versus Joe Perry, whose nickname is Gentleman Joe Perry.
Right.
And I can't remember which snooker player it was, but one of them, it was probably John Parrott or something.
Are you normally Gentleman Jim? I mean, Gentleman Joe.
Gentleman Joe. Gentleman Joe.
Is he a gentleman? Do you sense that?
I sense that. Yeah. You know, he was well dressed.
It'd be great if Judge Trump started behaving like Donald Trump.
Well, yeah. according to John Parrott or one of the others, he'd met Joe Perry's dad in the green room and said, now I know where Joe Perry gets his name, Gentleman Joe Perry, from. He went, his dad's apparently a gent as well.
God bless him.
Probably like me, doesn't know how to operate the red button.
Yeah, of course.
But he is a gent, which is the important thing.
There was another one of those stories today, the Living to 100, A Guide to Living to 100. It's an old boy. He was fantastic, freak of nature. Still basically looks
Porridge,
after himself.
Whiskey?
No, red wine and fry-ups.
Yeah, oh, they always say that.
He has a mixed grill every day.
No porridge,
I don't believe all these people.
100-year-old, red wine and a fry up every day.
Nonsense. He's probably been on some strict dietary regime. And then they're just taking the mick out of the interview.
Probably lives in a bubble most of the week, doesn't he? Probably lives in kind of a controlled environment.
Almost certainly.
Yeah.
Almost certainly.
Yep.
The other thing I watched this week, I've watched loads of stuff. The other thing I watched this week was another one of those 30 for 30 documentaries, which was about the Southern Methodist. I thought I was having a university week. It was about the Southern Methodist University in Dallas, SMU, Dallas.
Yes, oh yeah.
Very, very successful college
was
side.
Was this the, I've seen this one, this is the one about Eric Dickerson and the, and how they're basically all the boosters, all the ex-alumni who pay for all this, just enabled them to sign a load of talent.
So this is the way it works.
Money.
So basically,
well, they shouldn't do
ex, a kind of alumni who go on and play in the majors, go and play the NFL, come back and they pump a bit of money into the system.
These are businessmen.
Oh, they're businessmen. Yeah. So that's okay, right.
Basically, it was corruption on a huge scale.
Oh, okay.
That guy you're talking about, Eric Dickerson, he turned up. He was being paid so much. Somebody, one of them left to go to the NFL, had to take a pay cut to go from the college football
so
to the
sort of shamaterism thing. Yeah.
Total shamaterism.
They eventually got thrown out, didn't they? It's a good one, though. I enjoyed it.
It's a good story. Yeah, they got thrown out, and now they're back.
Yeah.
I mean, the point about Dallas was because President Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas, and they had a phrase, I've written it down somewhere, but I can't remember, but they had some phrase about how this cloud, this grey cloud hung over Dallas because it was primarily associated with the assassination of President Kennedy.
Yeah.
Therefore, there became this great thrust to try and make football, you know, first the Dallas Cowboys, but then the college football as well, which obviously was more popular than the NFL, you know, when you're looking back in the 70s and 80s. So there was this great thrust in all the boardrooms in Dallas, big oil-rich town, all these guys. The idea was to make SMU the best, and they were the best. And they had the back line or the front line was called the Pony Express. And the documentary was called The Pony Excess. But I did like the name of the director, which I wrote down here. I had to spool back to, hang on, where is it? Yes, he was called Thaddeus D. Matula.
Thaddeus D. Matula. That's a
tremendous name.
Yeah. Another one that sounds like it could be one of Groucho's names in a film, doesn't
it? Yes, it does,
really?
As
soon as you put an initial in there, you're in Groucho country. Martin, we're out of time, I'm afraid.
Just want to say that Thaddeus D. Matula was in a film with Red Buttons.
Was he? Okay, good.
It's a great comedy.
You're back overnight with talk radio.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, Man of Michelada, but I'm on at 1 o'clock in the morning.
1 o'clock in the morning through to five.
Yeah, prime time in Hong Kong.
Yeah, excellent. And that's for tonight and tomorrow night.
Yes.
And we will catch up with you next week.
Brilliant.
Martin, thank you very much.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
There we are. That's this afternoon show. Motti's back on Monday with us in the studio, reflecting on the weekend's football. We'll also be joined by Paul Ince next week, amongst other things. Champions League. It's going to be
all there. Oh, it's going to be exciting.
It is. Yeah. Have a great weekend, and we will catch up with you on Monday from 1. Thanks for downloading us.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.